In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How do we meet an ever-changing world? How do we reach out to different cultures, ethnicities, and languages? How do we respond to Christians who change the creed? How do we respond to those who ordain women? And what should we say to those who refuse to confess Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We should speak the word. God will not deal with man except through the word. For God desires all to be saved and to come to repentance and knowledge of the truth. And so the work must begin and end with God. So it must begin and end with his word, not with our plans, not with our ideas. It must begin and end with the word of God, for that alone can give faith, knowledge, and understanding. A crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear that word of God. They thought the proximity to Jesus was important. The closer you are, perhaps the more blessings you will receive. So, they fail to understand what Peter understood. What Peter will quickly recognize is the closer you are to Jesus, the more danger you are in, for sinners cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. But blissfully unaware of their own sin, and blissfully unaware of who Jesus truly is, the crowds keep pressing in on Jesus. One pushes, one shoves, one puts himself first with the words, "Excuse me," and pretty soon the commotion renders Jesus' words hard to hear. So he steps into a boat, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asks Simon to put out a little from the shore. He sits down, and then he begins to fish. He preaches of the righteousness of God that comes through faith to all who believe. He calls them to repent of their sins, to turn away from evil, to respond to evil with blessing, to bless, not to curse. He preaches of the kingdom of God that is built on grace and the love of God, not the love of men. He preaches of a sacrifice that will atone for sin, a loving Father who will save the world through his beloved Son. He preaches the works of God, not the works of men, so that eternal life might be given to all who believe. He casts the net of the word into the deep waters of this world and draws sinners out, so that they might live with him in his presence without fear. He preaches the word. For God will not deal with men except through that word. And so when he is finished, he doesn't return to shore to shake hands, kiss babies, and perform miracles. He's no politician. He's not in it for earthly glory. Instead, he goes in the opposite direction, away from the crowds even further. "Put out to the deep and let down your nets for the catch," he tells Peter. Peter knows this is foolish, but he believes the word of Jesus, and so he fishes at that word. And the word of Jesus brought in so many fish that the nets began to break and two boats began to sink. The word accomplished that. Jesus accomplished that. They had worked hard all night and had gotten nothing, but now Jesus brings in a great catch of fish. This teaches us that Jesus is the God of all creation. It is at his word that all things move and live and have their being. He is the one who made something out of nothing. He is the one who put the fish in the sea by his word, who put the stars in the sky, and who put the mountains on this earth. Christ is the creator of all things. His word allows crops to grow today. His word allows women to get pregnant today. His word allows animals to reproduce today, each according to their kinds. His word allows plants to spring up from the ground, each according to their kinds. For God's word is not an empty power that is fading away as soon as the sound dissipates. But his word is a power that remains and endures for all eternity. So the very existence of creation teaches us and all men that there is a God. No one is without excuse. No one can claim that God does not exist because they live in his creation. Just because he uses farmers to plant seeds, just because he uses men and women, husbands and wives, to bring children into the world, just because he uses the rotation of the earth to bring morning and evening, doesn't mean that God does not exist. God works through means. He works through you and through your vocation, and he works through me and the office of the ministry. Just because Peter's the one who cast the net doesn't mean Peter's the one who brought in those fish. The word of our Lord accomplished this. When Peter realizes who is sitting in the boat with him, he is terrified. The word of God has confronted him and convicted his heart. He knows that he is sinful from birth, sinful from the very moment of conception. He doesn't confess any particular sin that is troubling his mind, but he simply confesses what he is. He is a sinner in whom there is nothing good. The crowd that was blissfully unaware of who Jesus was wanted to get closer. But Peter, who is quite keenly aware of what he is and who Jesus is, can find no other solution within himself to save himself. So the only thing he can do is to beg Jesus to leave that boat and allow it to sink down into the depths of the sea, dragging down the net, the fish, and himself and his partners, for sinners deserve death, and he knows it. But Jesus did not come to bring death. He came to bring life. Do not be afraid. By his word, he forgives. Jesus pulls Peter, James, and John out of the depths of this darkened world and into the boat of his holy church. By his word, he forgives all their sins. By his word, he reconciles them with God. By his word, he saved them from death. The word removed their sins. The word gave them Christ's own righteousness. So the word allowed sinners to stand in the presence of God and to receive life, not death. A place in the church, not a place in this darkened world. God will not deal with man except through his word. So how do we reach out to different cultures? By the word. How do we reach out to different ethnicities and languages? Again, by the word. How do we meet 21st century challenges? In the same way as they met first century challenges, by the word. How do we confront woke ideology? By the word. How do we respond to homosexuality, transgenderism, women pastors, and those who refuse to confess Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? By the word. Because the work is not ours, the work is Christ's. And he will deal with men in no other way except through his word. He wants all to be saved. So he sent Peter, James, and John, called them to be fishers of men, pastors in his church, so the word of God might be preached to every nation under heaven. And he sent them out in that first century to preach to Jews and Samaritans, to Romans and Gentiles. He sent Paul out to preach to Greeks and Macedonia. And he has sent ministers throughout the world, Christians throughout the world, to preach to every nation under heaven. It is the work of Christ that creates and sustains faith. Christ, as he is preached, he uses means, he uses an office, but the results lie in his hand. And so we find this holy Christian and apostolic church in every nation, in Jews, among Jews and Gentiles, in Germany and Italy, in Spain and Portugal, in Russia and China, in Brazil and Chile, in Canada, Mexico, America. The Word of God has gone out into the very dark, deep places of this world and has brought in a great catch of fish. And all who believe are saved. We do not need a different style of worship. We do not need a more trendy pastor that can meet 21st century challenges. We should not think that we are unique in this Christian church. We do not need to find a new way to say the same old thing. We do not need to find a new creed or a new theology, because the results do not lie in our hands. They lie in God's hands. Peter simply fished at the command of Christ, and we preach and witness, always ready, always prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us. We witness at the command of Christ. So preach that word. Testify to the truth. And leave the results in God's hands. Sinners will be brought into his church, even as Isabella was brought into that church this day, pulled out of the waters of death and into the waters of life. She now lives in the church. And that is what God has done for each and every one of you. Maybe you've never trembled like Peter, maybe you have, but either way you confess that you are a sinner in whom there is nothing good. You confess that you cannot save yourself or get to a better place after death on your own. Maybe there have been times you have been sick to your stomach, that you have said or done things that you know to be contrary to the Word of God. And you have hurt others in unspeakable ways. Maybe not. But either way, you confess that you have sinned against your Maker and Creator and deserve his eternal death and punishment. And yet through the Word, the Lord pulls you up out of your sin. The Word gives you life. The Word gives you the righteousness of Christ. The Word gives you the breath of God, the heartbeat of God, the lungs of God. The Word draws you away from this darkened world with all its lusts and desires and empty promises and brings you into a new meaning and a new purpose to live in the boat with Christ, to live in the light of his presence. The Word gives you life, not death, hope, not despair. For apart from that Word, there is no righteousness, but in that Word of God, there is righteousness and life and peace. Christ calls you to repent of your sins, and you live in this boat with him. You do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing. You do not respond with anger, but in love. For the Father has sent his Son to redeem you from works that lead to death. God will not deal with you or with anyone else apart from his Word. And so Christ continues to send forth faithful pastors and faithful Christians to speak that word of God. And a miraculous catch is brought in. It truly is miraculous that each and every one of you are sitting here this day. There is no reason that you should have gathered here with these people. We do not have the same likes and dislikes, the same hobbies, the same political views, the same economic views, the same status in life. We are all unique and different, and yet here we are, somehow, in some way, gathered out of the nations and brought into a new nation, brought to live in the church as one holy and apostolic church, a royal priesthood, a people united together by the blood of Christ, belonging to God and to him alone. It truly is a miracle that we are gathered here yet again today. It truly is a miracle that Isabella has joined us. It may have been my hand and my mouth, but it is Christ who preaches and baptizes. It may have been Peter's hand that cast the net, but it was Christ who brought in the catch. For we are all saved by the word of Christ and by his command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.